So what I'm going to talk to you about today is actually a really small pilot study that we did in an elementary school in Texas, but this is one of my favorite studies that I've ever done, and you'll see why in just a second. So childhood obesity is a really big concern. I don't think if you've watched the news or read the paper or looked at magazines or just listened to people, I don't think anybody is lost on the fact that childhood obesity is a growing concern. Kids are fat, and they're getting fatter, and despite a lot of things that are going on to try to address that, we're really not making a lot of headway. We may be keeping it from growing at a faster rate than it is, but we're really not turning the tide around. The percentage of overweight and obese children is at or above 30% in 30 states. The problem with that is that obese children and adolescents have a greater risk of becoming obese adults. Becoming obese adults then leads to a lot of chronic diseases and other things that are complicated, and then they also have a risk of a shorter lifespan. So that's a big problem. I don't think that's a surprise to anybody. So school-based efforts largely have focused on the energy balance, right? I mean, everybody knows that it's calories in, calories out. So if you reduce the calories in or increase the calories out, that's how you affect the balance. So a lot of the school-based strategies have been increasing physical activity or improving nutrition or both. And there's been some really good programs with a lot of success in improving nutrition and in increasing physical activity. The problem is that we're not making progress in reducing obesity. So school-based physical activity largely has been integrated into PE classes. I'm from Texas. We have mandatory minutes that kids have to be physically active every school week. And so the schools can kind of integrate that into PE. They can integrate it into some other activities that go on in the school, but they have a mandatory number of minutes. The problem with that, and it's a great strategy if it can be done, but it demands instructional time. And any of you that are teachers or have teachers in your family or know teachers know that that is one of the things that drives schools crazy, because I live in Texas. I don't know how other states are, but we have standardized testing, and the teachers are measured based on how well their students do in standardized testing. If you take instructional time away from them, the likelihood that they are going to implement your program with any fidelity is probably pretty small, because that's not what they're there to do. And so that's a struggle. So I didn't acknowledge my two other colleagues that are part of this study, Dr. Mark Bindon and Dr. Jamelia Blake. Dr. Bindon is an ergonomist and a biomedical engineer, and Dr. Blake is a school psychologist. And we bring to the table a really interesting mix of interests that actually plays together really well. So Dr. Bindon did work in corporate America looking at how standing instead of sitting to do office work impacts office workers. And what he found is that by standing 3 to 4 hours a day, rather than sitting, if you're somebody that's like behind your desk all day, burns enough calories to either avert or lose 20 pounds in a year. Because by standing, you're enacting the muscles that have to hold your body up, which burns slightly more calories. So our idea was, would this translate in kids? And we didn't know that. Maybe it would, maybe it wouldn't. Kids are little energy machines anyway, right? So it may not be the same thing. But the idea is, if we can bias the classroom towards standing and give kids the option, A, what would they do? And B, would it work? It didn't require any instructional time. It didn't require any teacher effort or participation. But it utilized a part of the school day that nobody else was targeting. So all the other programs are looking at lunch. They're looking at PE. But they're not looking at just the time that kids are doing math and doing reading and doing social studies. So we thought, we'll try it out and see what happens. Okay, so the bias towards standing, the idea was that calorie expenditure would increase, and that was kind of our bottom line. But we also figured out that because kids are growing, that developmentally, it's better for them to be standing. We also were looking at how did it influence behavior in the classroom, and how did it affect attention span and their academic performance. And what we found is that it improved all of those categories. So if you're wondering what it looks like, here is a picture. You can see the little girl is standing at the desk. There's a little ergonomic, because he's an ergonomist, little footrest at the bottom where they can shift their weight by putting their feet up and down. And then there's a little boy who's sitting at the same desk. And the idea is that it's biased towards standing. So some of you in the back are standing in the room because you don't have a chair. But if you work in a regular office, right, and your desk is this high, and you have a chair that my colleagues like to call a butt magnet because it just, you know, sucks you in. So you are biased towards sitting on your butt all day long. So what we did is we raised the level of the desk. So if you're standing, the desk is at the right height. And then there's a stool, so if you want to sit, you can sit, and you're at the right, you're at the same height, and it's not conspicuous for the kids. So it's not like, ooh, look, that kid's standing, he must be in trouble, or ooh, that kid's sitting, you know, they're lazy. They're all at the same height, so there's no kind of stigma in the classroom for kids that are doing this. So they can stand and sit at their own discretion. This is actually one of our classrooms that we used in our study, and you can see they have little water bottles. That's the school's thing. And then they have standing desks, and you'll also see, well, I don't know if you can see, not all of the desks have a stool, which is something I'll talk about in just a second. So our pilot study was done in five classrooms of first graders at a socioeconomically and culturally diverse elementary school in Central Texas. We had two treatment classrooms, two control classes, and one what I will call a swing class. And that was just to give us a little bit of information to allow within group comparisons, and I'll talk about that in a second. So for our treatment classes, all of the desks in the classroom were converted to the standing desks. That was the school's decision. The school gets to decide what kind of furniture they have, so we didn't have to have consent to raise the desks. What we did, though, is we asked for consent for the parents to collect data on their kids. And so the ones that we got, all the kids had a standing desk in the treatment classes, but they had a consent to let us collect data. So we had 71 children and parents out of 100 to collect data on their kids during the study, and that's control and treatment. So here were our outcomes of interest. We didn't have a curriculum. We didn't have anything that the teachers had to implement. They didn't tell the kids to stand. They didn't tell them it was healthier to stand. They said, look, we got new desks. You can sit or stand as you like. And that was pretty much it. So one of the things we wanted to know is, you know, we're made with the predisposition to stand. And as we get older, and I asked all of you to stand earlier, and everybody's like, oh, I gotta stand up. Well, kids, when you ask them to sit down, have that same reaction. But we condition ourselves to sit. And so for adults, when we want to stand up, it's like, oh, I got to stand. I mean, all these people in the back are like, okay, you know, how can I find a comfortable position? Because we're not conditioned to do that. But kids want to be standing. They have all this kinetic energy. In fact, a lot of them have more energy than they know what to do with. And at school, that can become a problem. And so when we told them they could stand, we wanted to see how much they would actually do it. We also wanted to see, in measurable terms, how standing would affect caloric expenditure. And then we wanted to also see how the caloric expenditure differed between normal weight and overweight and obese kids. And then we kind of threw out the net, what other effects is this going to have in the classroom? So just so that you have an idea of how we collected data on these kids, we did height and weight at the beginning of the school year and the end of the school year. Okay, so here's one of the funky things. If you haven't done research with kids, because they're growing, they're so hard to measure because we had some of the boys in these first grade classes that grew 5 inches from fall measurement to spring measurement. And so it's a moving target. Body fat was taken at the beginning and end of the school year with a little impedance tool. It's a little thing. It's like when you stand on your scale, if you have the little things that, I guess, send an electric current. It's kind of like that, but it's just worn on their wrist, and we did body fat. And then we did calorie expenditure 5 days, 4 times during the year. And I don't know if anybody's familiar with, it's a little thing called a body bug. You can buy them. They're like $350, but it's a little armband that has little connectors, and they measure calorie expenditure based on an algorithm, based on your height, weight, age, sex, whether you're right or left-handed, and I think there's one other thing in the algorithm, but basically it calculates how many calories you're burning. So here's the thing. Studies have been done like this, but they've used accelerometers. Okay, so an accelerometer measures movement. So it requires you to actually move, right? But if you're a kid and we're trying to measure and you're just standing at your desk, it wouldn't be a very accurate measurement, right? Because if they're just standing still, even if they're moving their arms and legs around, they're not moving. And so we use the body bug to measure caloric expenditure. So we did a week in the early fall, a week in the late fall, a week in the early spring, and a week in the late spring. We also did classroom observation to look at how often they were standing versus sitting. We also did some posture analysis to see if, you know, because they're developing, to see how their posture is standing versus sitting. We did comfort surveys, and then we also did some interviews with teachers and parents. Okay, so one of the questions was, how much would students elect to stand on their own? So here's one of the interesting things that we found. Because they weren't conditioned to do this early on, the first 6 weeks of school, they sat most of the time because they wanted to stand, but then they got tired, and so they would sit. And then they'd stand for a little bit, and then they'd sit. But after the 12th week of school, in that conditioning period where they got their bodies strong enough to hold themselves up for a longer period of time, 70% of the kids stacked their stool in the corner and never used it at all. And the other 30% of the kids were standing about 75% of the time. So they want to stand, they're conditioned to stand. That's kind of what is natural for them. And so one of the things that we found, without any intervention, without any saying, you need to stand up because it's healthier, they did it on their own. So here's the interesting part. So the results of the study indicated that the treatment group, just overall, burned an average of 0.18 kcals per minute more than the control group. It'll get better in just a second. So the difference in calories burned was 17%. So just overall treatments versus overall controls is a 17% increase in calorie burn for the standing kids. For kids in both groups that were over the 85th percentile, which is overweight obese, we saw a 32% increase in calorie burn. Okay, so, but if you look at the calories, this is where people go, okay, but it's 1.5 calories versus 1.1 calories. And then you see the paired comparison. But here's the real world thing. Oh, hang on, I'm going to come back to this. A 0.18, this is with the overall comparison. That increase means that they're going to burn 11 more calories per hour. But if they're in the school day sitting for 4 to 6 hours a day, you're talking about 44 to 66 calories a day or 300 calories a week. And these kids are only consuming 700 to 800 calories a day. So that's a pretty big chunk out of the calories that they're consuming. But for the overweight kids, what we see is that they're burning about 23 more calories an hour, so about 575 more calories a week. That's almost a whole day's worth of calories for a kid that they can burn just by doing this. I've got the graphs in here. This one, and the only point of looking at this, is you can see this was early in the study, and the lines are really close together because even the treatment kids weren't conditioned to stand. They weren't standing that much. But if you see in the full on, when the study had been going, this was actually our last measurement, you can see the gap between the control kids, which is green, and the treatment kids, which is red. And if you're wondering why it jacks up at the end, it's because that's when they all leave and go, like, to art and music. Like, they all get up and walk to their next class. But we did measure them for the entire school day. But this, like, 8:30 to 10 o'clock period is when all the kids in all these classes were in the same, doing the same thing. They were all sitting or standing in their classroom. So we also wanted to know what other effects modifying the classroom would have on teachers and students. So we did interviews with the teachers, we did interviews with the parents. And what we found was really interesting, which is why our school psychologist is part of this. We found that it improved attention, it improved focus, alertness, it improved behavior and performance. What we heard from teachers is, my really, really ADHD kid could actually listen to me for 20 minutes. Like, I could hold their attention longer than I've ever been able to do that. My kids that are really bad behavior problems, and one of the teachers said, I just took the stool away because they would fidget with it. So I just moved the stool, and so they would do jumping jacks with the little footrest underneath, but they were in their own area, and they would basically say, you know, as long as you're behind your desk, you know, that's fine. And so what we heard from teachers and parents was, this is helping my kid pay attention. It's helping my kid focus, it's helping them listen, and what we would predict, first graders, you know, how they grade and how they do performance, it's kind of hard for us to measure, but what we're planning a larger study to actually look at some of those academic performance issues, but we know that behavior is improved. And the parents interviewed, it was like 70% of the parents interviewed said that their kids in the standing classroom, it improved their classroom behavior. So here's the implication for this. If you look at this graph, and let me kind of explain. So we did first grade, so that's the one down here on the bottom. I think y'all can hear me. Can y'all hear me? Okay, so this one down here on the bottom is first grade, so it goes through 12th grade. If you think about when you were in school,
right? So first grade, you're in your desk for a couple of hours. You go to art, you go to music, you go to lunch, you go to PE, and then you may come back and do a little bit of stuff. You do recess. Okay, but the farther you get in school, right, the more time you're sitting on your butt, because you go to English, and then you get up and you move to another class, and you sit down, and you go to math, and you move up and go to another class, and you sit down. And so the farther they get in school, if we can condition them early, the more opportunity for impact that we have, because they're sitting more. And so our projection based on what we know the calorie expenditure is in the sitting kids across the age groups is that this blue line is like the average kid now that's sitting, and the light blue line is what we would project would be our ability to impact that calorie expenditure as they move through school. So you look at the difference. I mean, you're talking about a 250 calorie a day difference in 12th graders. Okay. All right, so one of the things that we've been asked by a lot of schools that are interested in doing this is, surely it's really expensive. Well, the standing desk in school costs about $150 a unit. What most schools are paying is about $100 to $120 a unit anyway. So it is slightly more expensive, but it's not outrageously more expensive. So that basically that means for an investment of about $15 per student, because it has a 10-year lifespan, the schools can increase caloric expenditure and prevent excess weight gain. Now, here's the thing. Most schools don't care if their kids are fat. I mean, they care, but that's not their primary goal. So from our perspective, we have to establish that it improves behavior and it improves performance to give the schools an incentive to be able to do double duty and affect obesity as well as academic performance and behavior in the kids. And so our implication for that is as new schools are built, and we actually have some schools that are saying, okay, we have four or five schools coming online. How can we get this as we build these new schools? Or old ones are renovated, that the district should consider this as a good alternative to traditional classroom furniture. And so we're actually planning a larger study to actually look at the longitudinal aspect of that as well and be able to actually measure objectively the behavioral and classroom or academic performance variables. Okay, so my acknowledgement, this was funded in part by the CDC, and there's my contact information. If anybody's interested, I didn't print the handouts, but if you want a business card or for me to email them, I'll definitely do that. Thank you.